And as the music fades into the background, my very special guest for the morning, Dr. Corné Mulder, has joined me in the studio. Welcome to you, sir. Lovely to have you along on the Dave Charles Show. On this happy Thursday, the day before the weekend starts, actually in KZN, the weekend starts this afternoon, just ahead of the curve.
Thank you very much. No, thank you for the opportunity. It's wonderful to be here and to be part of your show. And as you correctly point out, the weekend, as far as I'm concerned, has already started. Unfortunately, we've got to do some work, but it's weekend as well.
Well, then let's get straight into it. Let's talk about it. You're the head of the Freedom Front Plus. You've been in Parliament since 88, so a 38-year stretch, and still going strong, which is a fantastic record. But now the Freedom Front Plus, of which you are the leader, is campaigning under a slogan, "It's our time." After 38 years, hooray. What does that mean when you say it's our time? Are you saying that the Freedom Front Plus realistically now believes that it can govern municipalities or even ultimately the entire shooting match?
You're absolutely right. As you correctly pointed out, I'm there since 1988. And sometimes people refer to me as the oldest member of parliament, but there's a huge difference between being the oldest and the longest serving member of parliament. That's a huge difference. I'm not the oldest. Definitely not.
I've also heard it said that you are often referred to as the adult in the room, which is very refreshing.
Yes, they do say that, and I'm very happy and I take it very seriously. No. When we say it is our time, whose time is it? First of all, yes, from the Freedom Front Plus's point of view, we believe it's our time, that we are at the moment in time in our political development in terms of South Africa where we think it's the right time. But "it is our time" refers to much more than us. It refers to each and every South African out there. All of us have been under basically an ANC government for the last 32 years. I know the government of national unity has been going for 2 years. But for more than 30 years, we've all been under the ANC government. And I think we've had enough. It's simply for various reasons. Our country is not doing what it's supposed to do in terms of growth, in terms of job creation, in terms of many things. And I think South Africans do feel that it's our time. It's really now our time to make a difference. And the local government elections at the end of the year gives us that opportunity to change South Africa for the better. And we feel that, and we can experience in terms of the feedback that we do get, that people are ready to move forward.
You mentioned the government of national unity, and you mentioned that, well, the ANC is not particularly shining or hasn't particularly shone over the past couple of years. In fact, ever, in my humble opinion, we are poorly led at the moment, and yet you are part of the government of national unity. Why?
Yes, I'm a great supporter of the idea of a government of national unity. I am absolutely allergic to any political party or to any politician or any individual that claims to say only me or only us. I don't believe in that. I believe in collective wisdom. I believe in joint leadership and decision taking. And the problem basically was that for many, many years, the ANC was in charge all by themselves. So now, because of the election result in 2024, nobody could govern by themselves. Nobody attained a majority of 50+1, and that forced us into kind of coalition government. The ANC preferred a government of national unity, and I'm still a proponent of that. And I said, well, let's participate in that. If you can be around the table where decisions are taken, you should be there. But the problem is, it's not a true coalition in the sense of what a coalition should be like. It's almost as if the ANC realizes they don't have sufficient numbers to govern by themselves, and they always try to co-opt one or two other parties and to say, well, come and assist us when we get to a vote. We don't want to be co-opted. We will not allow ourselves to be co-opted, but it's not an ideal kind of coalition. But at last, it's the beginning of that kind of process moving forward to coalitions, and we're going to see many, many more of those coalitions at the end of the year, after the election year, locally as well.
You know, the Freedom Front Plus appears to be, to the uninitiated or those that don't particularly follow things closely, almost an exclusive party, shall we say. It has traditionally garnered or gathered support in the white Afrikaans communities.
Yes.
Are you trying to broaden that base?
We don't have to try. Well, let me put it this way. Since the day that the party was founded in 1994, our membership was open to any South African. We said from day one, any South African 16 years and older that subscribe to what we stand for is welcome to join. But in the party, we are honest. We want to walk a straight line. And we've originally, as you correctly point out, the party started off basically as a more Afrikaans party and from that community basically. But over the years we adapted our mission and we changed our strategy and our policy, and we said no, we want to be a party that looks out for all minorities in South Africa and all individuals that want to support us. And lately, I became leader about 18 months ago, and I said, it can't be that difficult to be a leader. All you need to do is find out what is in the hearts and the minds of our people out there and position the party next to that. And what did we find? We found that approximately 80% of South Africans say we are Christian. We also found that about 80% of South Africans believe in traditional family values, Judeo-Christian values, and we said, well, those kind of values are the same that the party wants to expose, and that's what we want to put on the table. And since then, we found that people are flocking to the party from different communities, black, Indian, colored, traditional Afrikaans, English-speaking South Africans. People are coming from all sectors of society to the party, and then I was said, and I was advised by some as the leader, now you've got to change the course of the party to reach out to other groups as well in that sense. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. A party does not join an individual. Individuals join a party for what you stand for. And that's exactly what's happening at the moment, and I'm quite excited.
Now, clearly the subject of self-determination has been a burning issue among many smaller minority communities. And I think the Freedom Front Plus is very supportive of self-determination. But what would it look like under a Freedom Front Plus government if you were to succeed in your mission?
Yes, I let me try to explain it this way and try to make it simple. We are supposed to have a democracy, which we do. And the democracy is wonderful, but what does it mean? For example, let's say we have supper and there are seven wolves around the table and one sheep. And now we're going to vote what we'll have for dinner. And one of the wolves will propose, let's have mutton. And the sheep will say, I oppose that. But you're a minority, you're outvoted. That's not democracy. That's tyranny of the majority. True self-determination means that you devolve power to the lowest level as possible. Bring government as close as possible to a community or to a person and make it possible for them to take their own decisions as far as possible. Why should we be subscribed or prescribed in terms of what we should do from Tswane or from the union buildings? Let communities just take their own decisions. So we believe in devolution of power and take things down to the lowest level, and that should also be the case in local government, where people can decentralize and take their own decisions and empower communities. They are quite capable of taking their own decisions.
So would you be in support of, for example, a community of Ballito feeling that, well, we're not being particularly well served by the local municipality, and we would like to take affairs into our own hands? Would you, as a party,
yes,
be in favor of that?
Absolutely. We'll definitely do so, because we honestly believe that communities know best. They know exactly what is important to them, what they would like to see happening. And we should rather have smaller local government or entities than these large metros, with all due respect, that want to govern and take decisions on behalf of all the people.
But were those metros not established really to spread the wealth, if you like, of the,
well,
for example, there is huge disparity if you look at...
Correct.
At Ballito, this is a fairly affluent community across the highway and further afield, and in by far the majority, in fact, of the local community is pretty, shall we say, in need of support.
Of course.
How would that work?
No, it will not mean that you turn your back to where the need is most. Definitely not. But the problem is, and one must understand, that you can try to divide or send wealth around and whatever the case, you'll never succeed. The way to uplift other communities is to get the economy to grow and to create jobs. And for that, you need the right economic policies. And that is part of what we believe in terms of what needs to be done. And then I'm an optimist. I'm very optimistic about South Africa. I think the best is yet to come. We've got huge opportunities going forward in South Africa, and that's the same for KZN.
I want to get back to that, because that's encouraging to hear. But sticking with the current scenario, local government elections coming up very shortly now, Ballito, and I use the term fairly loosely because it is quite a rambling area and a bit of a brand more than a locality, but there is quite a strong Democratic Alliance presence in the affluent area of Ballito. do you see the DA as a partner in a coalition, or do you see it as the competition that you need to beat?
Sure. There was a time when the argument was we want to take charge of local governments, and in order to do so, we need to beat the ANC. So for a long time, the DA came with an argument that says you've got to vote for the DA. Why? Because we are the bigger party, and we've got the best chance to defeat the ANC. Those days are gone forever. Why? Because I think South Africans now realize that coalitions are the way to go. And they've seen that on all levels of government. Not even the ANC now has got a majority on their own on national level to govern. Just to give you an example, at the moment when you speak to the IEC, they will tell you there are 530 political parties registered in South Africa. 530. That's astonishing. Luckily, all of them won't be on the ballot. But the reality now is, because no political party can claim to have the majority to govern on them on their own, there are no real large or big parties. We are all political parties taking part. And I would say look at the larger 10 parties, and we are part of that, obviously. And then we say, what people now will do is, you can vote for a party that subscribe and which you can support in terms of their principles and the values and where they position themselves. And then you know, they will take those values and what those kind of policies into a coalition government. So we don't see the Democratic Alliance as a foe or as an opponent. Yes, in terms of trying to get votes, obviously we do. And that's why many people now realize you don't have to vote for a party because they are claiming to be bigger. You can vote for any political party in terms of which you support, in terms of their values and their principles, and they will take that into a coalition government.
The notion of coalition government in local politics seems to be a bit of a disaster. Is there one coalition local government that is working?
Yes, there are. No, there definitely are. Let me give you an example in the Western Cape. After the last election, the Freedom Front Plus was in coalition governments in 11 councils. Many of them are still going on after four and a half, almost 5 years.
Oh, they still exist, but do they work?
Yes. Oh, yes, they definitely do. And the reason is this. When we started with coalitions in South Africa, the premise was wrong. The point of departure was wrong. Why? The point of departure was about positions. I want to be the mayor. I insist. Which is nonsense. It's not supposed to be about positions. It's supposed to be about solutions and policy decisions.
That is exactly what it is supposed to be about.
Yes.
But in reality, it has been, I think, fairly obviously pointed out by anyone that cares to look, that most politicians, local, national, regional, are really not in the business of politics to make it better for the people.
Well,
it's kind of making it better for themselves.
Well, then the community should get rid of each and every one of those politicians. There's a reason, with all due respect, there's a reason why I'm referred to as the adult in the room. Because it's about the community. It's never about the politician. It's not even about the political party. It's about how do you serve the community the best? And that means you have to put these coalitions together in the right way. In other words, you get the parties together that can cooperate in terms of being closer to one another in terms of values and principles. You sit down, you look at the election result, and then you apply the traffic light process. Which things are absolutely red light, we're not going to agree, put them one side. Which are the ones that are green light, but they have in common? Let's take that as a starting point in terms of a common platform, and then deal with the amber ones and see how we can find each other. And then you negotiate and you create a new platform, which becomes a platform of the coalition. And for the next 5 years, the community must keep the coalition to that. The moment when it's about...
Can I just challenge you and ask you the question?
Sure.
How does the community keep or hold a political party or an individual for that matter to account? Because it seems that once they're in power, there is no accountability.
No. That's exactly the problem. No one should be as interested in your future or in the affairs of your community as the community should be themselves. In other words, the biggest mistake that people can make is to go to the polls, vote once, and then let go of everything and don't get involved with what the council is doing or what your councillor is doing or what the parties are doing. That's the biggest mistake, because then you leave it to chance and they will do whatever they like. The community should be active throughout and get involved and keep with public meetings, with pressure, and nowadays with social media. No councillor wants to be called out on social media and say, whoa, what's this? What decision is this? So you can make a lot of noise, and I want to see very active communities. And Belito, I believe, and as you correctly pointed out, is not only a community, it's a very, very, very important brand in terms of Ballito. So the community of Ballito specifically should absolutely be on the forefront of keeping people to account and use this radio station, through social media, and keep everybody on their toes.
I don't want to seem to be banging on the same drum, sure, but I'm really interested in the idea that one can change a situation that is unsatisfactory without having to resort to the courts.
Yes.
At the moment, there is a situation in many parts of the country where you've patently got rogues and vagabonds in charge, in control.
Sure.
We saw a wonderful example of the M4 being shut down on Monday.
Yes.
Because heads of state were in convoy, late and disorganized, and the entire local economy came to almost a standstill because of a few entitled individuals. Surely the age of that sort of thing needs to come to an end. But how does one... I know you're going to say vote at the next elections, but
correct.
We're talking about numbers, and how does it work for the average person that sees a vast majority of sheep following a certain line of free hamburgers and Coca-Colas and T-shirts,
sure,
for a vote, and then a few concerned citizens saying, oh my word, my vote, I don't agree with what's happening, I feel hopeless and helpless, in
sure
fact, my idea is to abstain, stay away, not to get involved.
No. If you look at the opinion polls, if you look at by-election results, I want to say that the majority of sheep has come to the realization that we don't need to follow what has been happening in the last couple of years. And that's why all the parties, even the ANC, look at how their percentages and their supporters come down. Because people have come to realize this is not the solution. We need people elected that has on their minds the interests of the community themselves. And that's the power is absolutely a very strong power in the hands of the electorate to go out and to elect people and parties and support parties that they feel will do exactly that. So we are in a transition at this stage, and that's why I say I'm optimistic. The local government elections, from my perspective, is only a foundation that we are throwing at the moment on which we will build towards 2029, because that's the next big election in terms of provincial and national, when I believe we will remove the ANC from power finally. And we can put the government together on local and national and provincial level of what I would like to call the good people who has the interests of their communities first. But the community itself should be absolutely activist in terms of how they look at these things. No political party wants to see that the community is turning against their councillor and they not act on that, because the party will pay the price. There's no doubt, and leaders know that.
Interesting. If I was a young South African contemplating the future and having lost hope in the process, thinking about leaving the country, what would you say to me?
I would say you'll make the biggest mistake of your life. We are at the cusp of turning South Africa into the good story of Africa and the world. There's no doubt about that. It took us a while to get to this point. That's why we are saying it is time. And from Freedom Front Plus's point of view, I'm extending a hand of invitation and friendship to all society and all communities, and specifically the youth, because it's your future that is at stake. You're going to make a difference in terms of getting involved or not. And sometimes people have all these ideas of let's go abroad and it's going to be wonderful. It's not going to be wonderful. I travel quite extensively abroad in terms of my work, and it's nice and it's fine. And in some parts of the world, if I don't say something, they think I belong there. But when I get off the plane back home and I take a deep breath, I realize I'm home. Africa has become part of who I am as an Afrikaner and as the white community in South Africa. We are committed to our continent and specifically our other South Africans, young black people, young colored people, Indian people from all different sectors of society. Let's take hands and make this country the best and the biggest it can be. And I'm absolutely convinced we've got all the potential. And I know from the international society and the American society, economy, Europe, everybody, they are prepared to come and invest in South Africa, but then we need the right policies. And we cannot want to be friends with all the rogues in the world like we've been for the last 30 years under the previous government. But luckily, that has come to an end, and we'll see that sooner than later.
Well, it's refreshing to hear from a man of such experience that there is hope for the future. How many seats are you contesting in the Greater Ballito area in the upcoming municipal elections?
We'll be contesting each and every one. Each and every seat will be contested. And that's the nice thing about the system. In other words, sometimes people will say to you, don't waste your vote by voting for this or that. That's a lie. That's a blatant lie. No votes can be wasted. Why? Because each person at the ballot will receive three ballot papers at the polls. The first one will be for your candidate in the ward, where you vote for an individual, and we'll be on each and every one of those ballots. The second one will be for the political parties, we'll be on each and every one, and then there will be a third one for the district council. In the end, all those ballots are combined, and a percentage is calculated, and once the percentage is clear, if you receive 10% of the vote, you'll receive 10% of the councillors, and that will take us most likely into coalitions, and the Freedom Front Plus will play the role most likely of being the adult in the council, trying to bring different communities together and steer us all in the right direction. You cannot. The only way to waste your vote, as far as I'm concerned, is if you vote for a political party for any other reason than you support and agree with their values and their principles and their policies.
So for someone listening to this conversation, and I think you've very eloquently and very passionately put a point of reason and reasonability into the public domain right now. The zeitgeist is turning. But there are those that say, yeah, look, it's all very well, and I like what the man says, but, you know, if we diminish our support for Party A, it will just weaken Party A.
No.
And Party B will then maintain or retain their majority.
No, that's exactly. And there is a certain party that makes that depends on that kind of argument. But it's a false argument because, as I've said, no votes can be wasted. Each and every vote will be counted. So even if you don't win a ward, in the end, it will balance out. If you receive 10% of the votes, you'll have 10% of the representation, or 20 or 30 or whatever the case may be. You cannot split the vote. It's not possible. In other words, it depends. In the end, there's a balance between the wards and the proportional side, which bring normality in terms of your representation. So one can, with a clear and a happy conscience, go out and vote for the party of your choice and know that your votes won't be wasted. They will be counted. And as I've said, the only way to waste your vote is to vote for a party for whatever reason. I've got to vote for you because I think you are bigger. I'm not a fond of bigger. In the Bible, there was a guy called Goliath, and we all know what happened to him, this big guy. No, I'm not the fan of that. You vote for what you believe in, and your votes will count, and then your representatives that will be elected will take those values and principles into a council and play a very responsible role that I think is necessary, specifically in Ballito, but also in KZN.
Dr. Milder, thank you so much for the time you spent on the show this morning, and lots of points to ponder. We wish you success.
Thank you very much.
We all, I think, are agreed on one fact, and that is that the best is yet to come if each of us plays a part, a responsible part. And I like what you say, and I hope it's not politics. I hope it's from the heart. And a genuine message of conciliation and prosperity for the future.
In the end, we all want a future for our children and our grandchildren. Let's make it happen.
Wonderful to finish the conversation on that upbeat, positive note. My very special guest, Dr. Corné Milder from the Freedom Front Plus. Elections coming up in November. Make sure that you make your mark. Thank you for joining me again.
Thank you very much.